Yeah, so that's basically when it started, and it's been fun. You know, like I look back at this, say the first couple of tunes that I put out compared to what I just put out last month, and I noticed a difference. You know, just the quality, and yeah, and that's what I really hoped would happen.
Right,
it just being able to kind of grow a little bit with my songwriting, and yeah, just my capabilities as a producer, you know, like at home, and yeah.
to me, when you started doing it, just because from our past over the years, C101 days, especially when we're going back to like CNC music comp disc that we did with CFMU, and the early, like my memories of you were always this, you know, the singer fronting a band that just came on my radar. Jay Perry was in the band.
Yeah. That was Holiday. Yeah,
Holiday and Sugar was the track that Kate, to me, was just like one of these huge, big sounding, fun rock songs.
Yeah.
So that is my introduction to you, and then I over the years I see you playing with some different people, even with the Adrian Murchison. Going out west, being were you playing? You weren't fronting. You were playing bass.
Yeah, I was
fronting of that.
Yeah, playing bass in Pneumatic Transit.
That's the band. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember that summer we went coast to coast, just in Canada twice, and yeah, it was a great time, and I really wanted to get out there on the road, and those guys were fantastic guys to do that with. It really showed me a lot. We really had a really fun time. And that, again, yeah, that was another outlet just to get in, you know, another band, and it was great.
But that's where my brain kind of turns off after that. Like once we start getting into Indie 101 days, that sort of thing, I lose track of you. I don't even know what bands you were in anymore. So where were you? What were you doing in like 2011, 2012, 2010? Were you still doing music?
Yeah, so you know what? I was fronting a band called Mercy, and it was kind of like a heavier... heavier kind of funky band. And then I guess the tail end of that was when I started to just do solo stuff. So I was doing Rhythm Church. And, you know, I'd put together a band to perform that stuff live. And then once that band kind of started to dissolve and they started to get sick of me, you know, I was like, well, what am I going to do? I got to, you know, still do something. So I continued that way. And essentially that just turned into the Vinny stuff over a couple of years, you know? Yeah.
Cause before we started this interview, I said, you know, you're going to have to help me out on a few band names and that, because there was a time where I was like, I lost track of how many different projects. And you said Mercy, like, okay, now I'm starting to remember all of that stuff. But with what you just said, that the end of the Rhythm Church stuff, were any of the ideas from that stuff, from writing, is any of that come out in the most recent project over the last year of Vinny Vinny?
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of many demos and many things have been stored on hard drives that have always been, you know, ideas that I thought when the time is right, you know, I can reapproach them and give them a new spin or something. But yeah, there's been a couple that have trickled into, you know, say new songs for this past year and things that I guess, yeah, just weren't ready at the time, I suppose, you know. And it's, you know, sometimes I'll just queue up like an old demo that I've made or pull up something that you know is ready to go now, and certainly some stuff from Rhythm Church or certain ideas have come with me into this.
Sure.
You know, yeah.
Now with these songs that you have here on the Vinny Vinny project, because we had the pandemic, you said, yeah, I'm going to release a song a month. That was your initials, the starting idea of all of that.
Yeah.
Is it the approach of, I got to put the songs out there or it's just going to make me nuts, or I'm going to lose my mind because of the pandemic? I have nothing to do except for, you know, look after my kid, my wife, my job. And, that's sort of like the routine, because, creative people need to have their outlets. And if they don't have it, you know.
Totally. It's very difficult to function, right? Like you have to be able to have that outlet. I thought that it really did turn into something that was very, aside from, my other responsibilities, that was something that, you know, having that kind of deadline that, I kind of gave myself every month, you know, after the first tune, I was like, okay, you know, whew, breathe a sigh of relief and put it out there. And then it was like, yeah, you know what? I could do that again. In fact, I've got another one that's almost ready to go, and I could do that. And that was something that I guess, you know, really, like, I really wanted to get things out as well, because I felt like anytime I talked about some music I'd been making, I really didn't have that current calling card. You know, I would say, yeah, you know what? I've been writing a bunch of music, but sure. Sorry, this song is from 2005. Like, if you want to check it out. Right. Meanwhile, I had this, you know, certain things I was super, super excited about. And I thought that if I had them out on Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere, it would be great. And I've really felt that that's been the case now, that I can share those things. And, you know, if people are into the songs, it's just nice to be able to say, this is, you know, something I just finished up last month. You know, this is something I just put out. You know, you might like that, right? Sing me a song and lullaby.
there's different styles, little bits of different styles in some of these songs that I've listened to.
Yeah.
And it has shown some growth from the first song, Incognito. Was Incognito the first release? Am I right saying that?
I think Pain Gang was the Pain first. Gang? Yeah.
But it does show like a difference in what you're doing when you get to Flashlight.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
There's some changes there of energy, but you didn't really stick, because some artists will just like, okay, I write this way and
here's
my thing. And they don't really detour from that. You're not afraid to be a little bit softer on songs.
Totally, man. Like, I feel like, that's the beautiful part about this as well, because there are no, you know, there's no rules, but it's also, I'm such a fan of, you know, music in general. Like I know you are, you know, and it's just this opportunity to really, you know, if I'm making something that moves me and it doesn't really fit in a mold with, you know, a certain style of songs for, let's say, a band or something like that, you know, being able to not even worry about that and have the music, you know, come out, it's great. And yeah, you know, there are different styles and different vibes, and that's really neat too, you know. Like, I mean, it's great when you listen to bands and they have the same kind of, they're putting out music you love, you know, so you're always going to revisit that band because they're putting out these, it's just something you can relate to, you know, you can always count on that band. But at the same time, you know, when a band makes a huge left turn, you know, and you're kind of with them going like, oh man, like I really don't get this and I don't even like it. Well, maybe a couple months down the road, you go back to check it out and it's something you really do get.
That's
you know, it's like
you just described every day of my life.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I've often admitted to people, they go, man, you're such a Dave Grohl fan. I'm like, I hated Nirvana when they came out.
Yeah.
When Nirvana came out, I was like, I don't get it. And then I actually just played the album over and over again one day in my apartment at out in Westdale, and I went, this is the greatest album I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
It took some time for me to like, you know, to like try to like just to get into it, because I heard the earlier stuff, Bleach and some other stuff with the other drummer. I was like, wow, this is like some really good punk music.
Yeah.
And then when Nevermind came out, I was like, wait, what? We did what now?
Yeah, you know, for sure,
I couldn't follow what everyone was going on about. So sometimes you have to give something a couple plays and listens to go, oh, okay. Yeah. I can see where they're coming from on this. Right.
Exactly.
You're holding someone to their previous work, and that's not necessarily fair to the artist.
Right. Yeah. And if you have, it's timing too. It's timing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not in the mood for something sad, but I say, hey, you know what? I got this really great sad song.
During a pandemic. Yeah.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And it's really neat. Just the whole, like the mechanics, you know, of all of it. It's good. You might connect with somebody at one point, might lose them the next step, but definitely still on the same path.
Don't ever
14 tracks out on Bandcamp right now.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, we're at the point now where I've been chatting with other people who perform in that, and they can do shows now. What's the plan now? Do you have any urge to get a couple of guys together, go, can you come up on stage with me, play my music, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Or does the Vinnie Vinnie project, is it just good to be at home and just record and just put it up that way?
Yeah. Yeah. It's super, super comfortable, you know, to do that, not to have any kind of, it's very comfortable to be at home and not to have to sweat that kind of thing right now. But at the same time, yeah, like I would love to get out and, you know, do a couple gigs, and get a couple guys together. Yeah, that would be awesome. It would definitely change the vibe of the songs too, you know, but
right. The live version, they'd be done differently. But it's funny that when I ask that question, I'm laughing because I can remember instances where you're performing and it's like, and I can hear like audio going wrong on stage or something and like a vocal cut in and out. And I'm like,
oh yeah, man,
this guy's like, he's been a live guy for so long. I got to ask him, does it feel better not to have to do a sound check and worry about, you know, crap falling apart, you know?
For sure. Yeah.
You've done all sides of it though. Like, I mean, I know, Holiday was like pretty epic band. And
yeah,
like,
oh,
you guys were like you guys had it all down from the sound to the live stage, even to your merch. Your merch was like bigger than your live show. I was like laughing. It's like they got 9,000 versions of a hoodie up on this wall for like $60 back in the day.
Oh yeah.
People are going to buy that. And they were buying it. And then you talk about Pneumatic Transit and it's just like, here's a band that's like, you know, as far as I knew, you guys were stealing gas out of cars to get across Canada.
Yeah, it was really
broke.
Very broke. Very broke. I was talking to some relatives about that, you know, not long ago. Very broke. Like we had zero. zero on zero. And that was something, you know what, I didn't understand going into that. Not that it would have changed me being involved, but the fact that, you know, going out with obviously, you know, no label support, nothing like that, was very difficult. And it's like, you know, you talk about like, oh, you know, maybe you can make some gas money to get to the next gig, like if you're lucky kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and that was an eye-opening experience for sure.
So where are we at now for 2022? Are you still going to do the song a month, or are you going to just release 6 songs in 1 month?
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure. You know, I've got a couple new tunes on the go. I think now that year is done, maybe I might pull back and just wait and do like a little EP release or something, or maybe get into, you know, some music videos. I'd like to get onto TikTok. I don't know how you feel about that, but I feel like,
you know what, at this point right now, Vince, you know, I've made so many snotty remarks about Spotify.
Oh yeah. 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 Like what?
Like, oh, well, my everyone, I've gone on record saying, you know, I love the fact that Spotify exists, but there's 9 billion bands on Spotify.
Right. Yeah.
And you're making no money.
Zero.
Why aren't you sending them to your Bandcamp? At least you're making part of the money when you sell a song.
For sure.
Or to your own website. But it's so big now that the amount of exposure that you get, listeners, people seem to want to build that as their brand, that they have, like, when someone says they have like, oh, I have 3,000 listeners on Spotify, that's great. I'm like, against what? Like, you're a fart in the wind. I'm sorry, you know.
For sure.
I would rather someone buy $3,000 worth of merch off me off my website, because at least I can still put up music and not go into crushing debt trying to put music.
Right. For sure. Yeah.
The thing about TikTok is, what's great is that everyone is on it, and if you put a sound clip of your music on that, that becomes something that's viral and tangible, and that's something that you can work with it. So yeah, I get a little grumpy around Spotify, but I see the value in TikTok, and I know it's a weird way of looking at things, but a little clip of your music going viral to like whatever, people dancing or wiping out on a skateboard or like whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
People seem to really love that, right? So
for sure,
they I could tell you, I have the TikTok songs in my head all the time now.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. And I can't get them out. I don't even have TikTok anymore. And they're still in my brain.
No way.
I have to listen to my wife play it all the time. Have you seen this? Like, I don't want to see that. Because now that music's going to be in my head all day long.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like an infection for me. Hey, man, thanks for taking the time out for yapping with me here. So we're going to 2022, the possibility of an EP. Tell everyone where to go to download your music. And don't mention Spotify.
Yeah, you can find me on vinnyvinny.bandcamp.com. Let's see, Apple Music. There's a whole list of streaming services here that I'm on. Amazon Music. Anything. Okay. Check it out, Vinny Vinny, and then give it a spin. You know, and hope to see you live someday if we're out there playing shows, you know? I saw you.
Allow me to flow. call rock music. It's outrageous filth. And we've got to do something about it.
The outrageous edge of rock and roll has shifted its focus from Elvis's pelvis to the saw protruding from Blackie Lawless's codpiece on a Wasp album.
I believe it was you who asked the question of Mrs. Gore whether there was any other indication on the album as to the contents. And I would say that a buzzsaw blade between a guy's legs on the album cover is a good indication that it's not for little Johnny.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
I love the way which you talk and you play like. courage and a ton of pure dumb love. You know, even if you can't see the end of the road, I promise that it is just a bridge.
You're listening to the Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
You're open for 10 more minutes? I'll be quick. Quickly move into the exit? This ain't a basketball game. We're not playing to the buzzer. You had the choice to hold a bunch of minimum wage workers hostage or go shopping tomorrow. You chose wrong. Get out.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Told you, girl.